The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party, Season 4, Episode 15, called I Lose People. Tonight's show may contain spoilers up through the last episode and anything from AMC official promo materials. So welcome to Episode 15 of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4. After tonight, there will be just the Season 4 finale next weekend, when Season 4 will wrap on Sunday, September 30th. The Walking Dead Classic Season 9 begins the following weekend, opening on October 7th. So we will be running straight through from one to the other, with no breaks until the winter holidays. I'm going to check the chat room, see how we're doing, and we don't have any guests yet, but as usual, we probably will soon. So I'll check back in just a little bit. So typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers that you know or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime tonight, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you call during the actual show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact, and we usually post the link for that on our Facebook page and also on my personal Twitter if you guys follow that. Also, we'd love to have questions from the chat room and so forth, and we can have discussions while the show is live on the TV. If you're unable to join us this evening live, you can go to the episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. I'm going to correct a note real quick. Sorry about that. Able to join us tonight. Oh, I cannot type. Okay, I'm just going to leave that alone because the gods are telling me not to edit that for some reason. I'm going to check on the chat room, see how that's doing. Okay, it's still quiet, and that's fine. So, tonight's episode, episode 15, is called I Lose People. Official AMC synopsis is, the group's hope falters as they seek a way out. Alicia and Charlie reunite with friends, which, given episode 14's ending and the promo materials for tonight, probably means John Dory and Strand. I have additional synopses for you, as I often do. And, well, I have two synopses, and I have an article about the exclusive scene for tonight. So I'm going to pull that up and read that to you. So the first extended synopsis is from comicbook.com, one of the sources that we often use. And it's just Fear the Walking Dead episode 4x15. I Lose People. This is by Brandon Davis, was written this morning. And he says, Fear the Walking Dead episode 14.5 is titled I Lose People with an official synopsis, blah, 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 which we'll skip. They also mentioned the directors and writers, which we'll also skip because I get to those specifically. In the most recent episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Morgan Jones leads the group of survivors to a hospital in downtown Austin, Texas. By the way, the hospital that they used for this scene was actually closed just a couple years ago and just is scheduled to be demolished, so they let them kind of run around down there. After the hotel becomes flooded with the undead, he elected to push everyone to the roof in an effort to avoid the infected. Ultimately, newcomer to the series, Jim, also known as Jimbo, was bitten during an altercation with an infected and is primed for a death in Sunday's episode. episode 4x15 is the penultimate episode of Fear the Walking Dead's fourth season, with the season 4 finale set to air in 1 week, and that'll be September 30th. The season had marked a thorough change for the sibling series to The Walking Dead. For the first time, Dave Erickson has not been serving as showrunner, with Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss stepping in as co-showrunners. And as you guys know, they've also directed and written episodes, sometimes not together. Furthermore, the season has marked the end of the road for Madison Clark, actress Kim Dickens, and Nick Clark, actor Frank Delane. Both cast members and characters exited the series in the first half of its fourth season. Newcomers to the show include Jenna Elfman, Maggie Grace, Garrett Dillahunt, and Lenny James. James brought his Morgan Jones character from The Walking Dead to Fear the Walking Dead, the universe's first crossover. Elfman and Dillahunt play John and June, new fan favorite characters engaged in a lovable romance. Grace, meanwhile, plays a hardened Althea, or Al, a character bent on learning the stories of post-apocalyptic survivors in a journalistic fashion. With only one episode remaining in season 4, the question of whether or not the group will reunite with Althea and how they feud with the villainous and troubled Martha pans out has little time to be resolved. All right. Double-check the chat room before we move on, and we're still quiet there, so let me go ahead to the second extended synopsis, and I will pull that up for you. All right. Just a moment. Let me change a volume setting. I'm hearing myself twice. I need to get rid of that. All right. The second extended synopsis is from fansided.com, which is by Brittany Frederick, again, a regular writer about the series. She wrote this yesterday. With Fear the Walking Dead winding down its fourth season, the show is going to crank up the tensions between the survivors, according to AMC's official description, which we're going to skip. Sunday's episode is called I Lose People, which is not ominous in any way, shape, or form. It's not like this is a show where characters are killed off on a regular basis, or there was a natural disaster this season, or there are zombies around most corners. And who's the narrator indicated in the title? Is it referring to Alicia, whose story has been a huge focus during the Fear the Walking Dead season 4, and who again is featured in this week's episode? She's about to reunite with somebody, but she's lost just about everybody the show could take from her. Her brother, her mother, Travis, Alicia is well-versed in the topic of this installment. Plus, can we take a moment to point out that Daryl Chill Mitchell is back this weekend? How cool is that? The guy who co-starred in Fox's Michael Strahan sitcom Brothers is now fighting zombies from his wheelchair. Bring it on, Apocalypse. Not even the undead are going to keep this guy down, unless the show kills him off too, which would be unfortunate. We'll see what big plot twist that Fear reveals to set up next week's finale. Official description. I'm going to add to what Brittany said. We know what the title means, and I'm going to get to that in the trivia in just a minute. I think it's pretty obvious to anybody who follows the show on a regular basis, so I'm not sure what kind of cute game that was supposed to be. All right, let me get the last one, which is not so much a synopsis as it is commentary about an exclusive scene that they released. So there's a video of it, which I can't show you in the chat room, obviously, or on the air, but the commentary is by Sarah Beth Pollock, done yesterday. And there's the YouTube video. And she says, Undead Walking has an exclusive scene from Fear the Walking Dead, season 4, episode 15, I Lose People, that features Alicia and Charlie coming face to face with the Filthy Woman. The Filthy Woman has been dogging the group ever since she commandeered Al's SWAT van. In this exclusive scene from Fear the Walking Dead, I Lose People, she finally meets Alicia and Charlie in an explosive confrontation. Pardon my hiccups, I'm sorry. With only 2 episodes left in season 4, the group is still separated, and despite taking a shot to the shoulder, the Filthy Woman is still on the rampage. She's out for blood in her mission to stop people from being, quote, weak. And she runs into Alicia and Charlie. And there's the clip, but we can't see that. So let's get down to the commentary. There are quite a few takeaways from this clip. At the end of mile marker 54, Alicia and Charlie arrived at the flooded area and Alicia smiled. We can hope that she was smiling at the sight of John and Strand across the way. In the clip, Alicia and Charlie find a store with a parking lot, and Alicia declares that the canoe on top of the car is exactly what they need. Any rescue efforts might have to wait, though, as gunfire rings out and the filthy woman approaches. She's moving slowly, clearly in pain, but she's determined to fulfill her personal mission to fix everything. She heard Charlie and Alicia on the radio. She doesn't want them helping Morgan's group because they broke her, quote, chain, and she's going to fix it. Alicia sees that the woman has been injured, and remember, she got shot last week, and offers her help, despite the fact that the woman has been shooting at them. The filthy woman doesn't want help. She isn't weak, and she's going to make them strong. However, filthy woman collapses before she can do anything else. This is in the clip, so this is not a spoiler. However, Alicia's first inclination to help the woman is a testament to how far she has come. That much is true. Alicia and Charlie are fast becoming the dynamic duo to watch on Fear the Walking Dead. After Alicia gets the girl out of the line of fire, Charlie hides under the car, still wearing John's hat, which barely clears the space between the car and the ground, and I might personally add, is kind of an echo to Carl running around with his dad's hat, which I assume has now been passed down to Judith, and we'll find out shortly. Okay. And she watches a filthy woman approaching. Alexa Nissen delivers another thrilling performance without having to say anything at all. This actress can emote like a seasoned pro, and her face conveys the entire story. So there is that summary. Still quiet in the chat room. That's fine. It's 8:42. So I'm going to continue with my notes that I have for you guys. Writers and directors profiles. So tonight's episode was written by David Barrett. No, excuse me. Was directed by David Barrett and written by Kalinda Vasquez. So profiles on these guys. David Barrett, if you look him up on IMDb, he's the second one because there's several. David McCoy Barrett is a producer and director known for Blue Bloods, 2017, Arrow, 2013, Once Upon a Time, 2013, The Mentalist, 2013, Castle, 2012, V, 2011, Under the Dome, 2015, The Secret Circle, 2012, Moonlight, 2008, Cold Case, 2007, E-Ring, 2006, and Orphan, 2009. And there are others he's known for as well. We'll get to that in a minute. He was born in Bishop, California, brother of Stanton Barrett, who was a race car driver, a Hollywood stuntman, and director. His godson of Paul Newman, son of Stan Barrett, who was a NASCAR racer and stunt double for Burt Reynolds and Paul Newman, which is probably how the Godfather thing ended up happening. And his mother was Penny McCoy Booth. She and her dad were famous Mammoth Mountain, California skiers. His father was the first man to go Mach 1 on land in the Budweiser rocket owned by Hal Needham. He is the grandson of David McCoy, who is the founder of Mammoth Mountain, California. David has been producer for many shows, including Cold Case, the 2007 Bionic Woman reboot, The Mountain, Moonlight, Secret Circle, and Blue Bloods. As a producer, he is next working on an untitled project with Paul Attanasio, and he's going to be executive producer, and this is something going on in 2018. It is currently not named, but it's in his IMDb as a future project. David has done a small number of acting roles, including being a bicycle messenger in Gross Point Blank in 97. As a writer, he did several episode scripts for The Mountain, 2004 and 5. He has a long list of credits as a stuntman and as a director. In stunts, he has worked on almost 70 projects, including Ghost in the Machine, Children of the Corn 3, Waterworld, Lost Highway, Liar Liar, Gross Point Blank, which is probably why he had a little role in that, Jurassic Park The Lost World, Speed 2, The Mod Squad, 1999, Lizzie McGuire TV show, he's a stunt cord for them, the movie 8 Mile, The Matrix Reloaded, Freaky Friday 2003, and more. As director, he has done episodes of True Calling with Eliza Dushku, 2004 pilot for The Mountain, Veronica Mars, Star Trek Enterprise 2005, Smallville, CSI New York, Melrose Place, Vampire Diaries, NCIS Los Angeles, Nikita, Supernatural, the 2010 version, Castle, Once Upon a Time, The Mentalist, Arrow, and Star Trek Discovery, among several others. Tonight's episode will be the first time that David has done any work in the Walking Dead universe. Next, we have a profile on Kalinda Vasquez. And Kalinda has been profiled before. She was born in New York City. As a TV producer, she has worked on multiple TV series, including Nikita, Once Upon a Time, and Runaway. So it looks like there's some work crossover between her and David. She has miscellaneous crew credits from The Cat in the Hat 2003 and the TV shows Prison Break, Human Target, and Nikita. As a TV scriptwriter, she's done episodes for Prison Break, Human Target, Nikita, and Once Upon a Time. Tonight is her second time working on anything for the Walking Dead universe. She has previously written the script for the earlier Season 4, Episode 12, Week. So I'm going to give them a little applause for their work on the show. Give me a minute. I'm going to pull that up. Yes, thank you, guys. So now we have the trivia portion. As often happens, I don't have anything for the current week, and we do stuff after the fact. I have a couple of notes for this week's episode. Not very much, but a couple things. So it's a 52nd episode of Fear the Walking Dead overall. A slight spoiler that is in the official trailers that is kind of fun and you guys should watch for tonight. Those trapped in the hospital downtown eventually find another elevator to try and escape. This involves yet another pan to other iconic moments in the movie genre, in the zombie genre, pardon me. Most notably, the elevator shots from Romero's original Dawn of the Dead, combined with a shot of cast members that strongly resembles the remaining group in Dawn, at least in the video clip. If you come to the chat room tonight, you will often see that there's a slideshow at the top of different photos from this evening's episode, and I have a copy of the photo in there that I'm referring to. I don't actually know at what point it shows up, so you're just going to have to watch the whole episode and find it. But I thought that was fun because I enjoy that Fear and Walking Dead both do little homages to various iconic, usually a Romero movie, but not always, iconic shots in the zombie genre that people remember. They have replicated those in some of their special effects. So I enjoy that stuff. Another piece of trivia, the episode name, which Brittany should have known earlier when she was writing that article. The name refers to Morgan Jones telling Althea why he left Virginia. Quote, "I lose people and then I lose myself." End quote. He may have brought this up due to the fact that, but they may have entitled the episode this, due to the fact that Jim Brower was bitten in the previous episode, revealing his inevitable death. Although, may I point out that there have been a couple of characters that actually survived bites, but they're extreme examples. Last episode trivia from episode 14 last week. In a flashback, Martha and her husband Hank, which it was hard to make out what his name was. I wanted to make sure we knew that and were clear, are involved in a car accident that leaves Hank impaled by a guardrail. Martha frantically tries to wave down passing cars, but nobody stops to help. And really the only reason I'm bringing this up is to establish the character names, because I think they were kind of glossed over really quickly. It's 8:49, so I'm going to go ahead and keep going. Check in the chat room real quick. All is still quiet on the Western Front. So let's continue. Other trivia, and I kind of like this. I like to give credit to some of the supporting cast because I feel like they don't always get the accolades that the main characters do, and I want to make sure that we support everybody. So in the trivia, it mentions other co-stars, especially uncredited ones. So co-stars, and this may be a shift in status, I'm not sure. But they're listed as Charles Harrelson, who plays Quinn, the late Quinn, I believe, as a walker. Rachel Mary Dudley, who played Stevie, and that was the woman that Martha impaled in the throat when she was hovering over the box. And I think she was one of Polar Bear's helpers, the one with the braids last week. And then John Eric Bentley, he plays Hank. Uncredited people who they happen to know, so they've posted. Isaiah Cox was a walker. Joseph Marshall was a walker. And they did give, quote, unknown as Purvis. And I bring this up as this is unusual for someone given a named role and significance, plot significance, not to be named somewhere. It may be contractual issue. It may be a future plot point or a difference of opinion on significance of the character. I'm not trying to inflate him into a main character, but there is always meaning in something as sloppy as not naming the person. It's not even an uncredited person that we can point at. Like, no one seems to know who the heck this guy is. So either he's super unknown or they're hiding it for a plot reason. So I'm going to keep gesturing at that. The title refers to mile marker 54, where Martha's husband Hank died and she began her rampage. The filthy woman's real name is revealed to be Martha. This episode is dedicated to Dwayne Havisher. And I actually have an article that I want to read to you guys if we have time real quick. It's 8:51, so I think we can do this. Somebody had written up something about him because the whole internet was going, who is he? Because it wasn't a familiar name to us. So this is credited by Matt Carter, who's at cartermatt.com. And he posted an article about this on September 17th, but I did not find it until late a day or so ago. So he says, who is Dwayne Havisher? After watching tonight's Fear the Walking Dead episode, we understand many people having that question. Havisher was honored with a title card at the end of Sunday night's installment, and that's the thing where they put up in memory of blah, 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 or any other extra things. And it was a wonderful way to honor someone who contributed a great deal to the entertainment business without too much in the way of attention. He was known for his work in the transportation department and as an equipment operator, having worked on The Leftovers, as well as a number of movies, including Death Proof. Primarily, most of his work was in the film world. Havisher passed away earlier this spring, but Fear the Walking Dead's team decided that tonight was the right time to honor him at the end of the episode. These sorts of tributes are incredibly meaningful in that they ensure that someone is never forgotten about in the time that follows their passing. This is the sort of thing that means a lot to friends and family of the deceased, and I would imagine coworkers, you know, people who also work with them or worked on shows that they supported. While Havisher was not credited with any work on IMDb for Fear the Walking Dead, and this is true, I tried to look him up, there is a tangible connection here in that much of season 4 filmed in the state, similar to how The Leftovers was also operated out of there for a time. He was one of the local crew members who was one of the unheralded heroes of production. Sometimes when watching these shows, you can forget about everyone responsible for making them a hit, but every single job is important to making the show or film come together, which is why I like to do these profiles and so forth. Our thoughts certainly go out to Havisher's family, and we do hope that they saw and appreciated the nod tonight. To those who haven't heard of him, hopefully this gives them a little more insight into why the show would want to give him a little bit of attention after the episode. Honoring crew members with title cards is something we have seen done in the past, as we have seen it with some other shows such as Elementary and Grey's Anatomy. It's a way of making sure everyone is aware of each individual person responsible for turning a show into something greater. And they have a photo credit from AMC.com. So that is the explanation of who that was in the tribute last week. It is 8:54. The chat room's still quiet, so I'm going to go ahead and continue with notes as I am able. There were no bloopers announced from last week's episode 14. So cast birthdays this week. I only have one, who is Daniel Bonjour, that plays Aiden Monroe from Alexandria, and he will have a birthday on September 28th, and he was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, which I thought was kind of interesting. So let us wish him a happy birthday. Congratulations. Just to let you guys know, a couple of projects I'm working on for this show, and the birthdays remind me is one of them. I started working on the birthdays, I actually believe, early in season 7 of Walking Dead Classic. And I did not get to complete the whole list because going through all of the names is extensively daunting. So I don't have everyone on there yet, and I feel bad about that because I want to include everyone. So I've been trying to nibble at it. So just to let you know that, because that reminded me. And then unrelated to the birthdays, as you know, one of our regulars, Joan, is helping me compile a list of basically nicknames for zombies that the shows use, because if they have an unusual habit of having pockets of people each have their own nicknames, and none of them are the same, or most of them are not the same anyway. So there are people on the internet who have tried to compile lists, but they don't seem to talk to each other. So several of these lists hold names that the other ones don't have, or nobody is updating them when, for example, Fear has just introduced yet another nickname, which was Skin Munchers, and the truckers use that one. Sarah and, the guy in the chair. I'm so sorry. I spazzed on the name at the moment. When I figure it out, I'll repeat it for you. But anyway, you know, there are many nicknames, and I think it would be kind of cool to finally crunch down and get all these little posts together and go through them all and file through it and find all the names and their sources so you guys can just see all the work that's gone into that mythos, because I think that stuff is fun. Don't forget to join me next Sunday, which will be September 30th, and it will have the season 4 finale for Fear, episode 16, I Lose Myself, which of course is the second half of Morgan's quote. This will be directed by Michael Satrazemis, and will be script written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, who are the current co-showrunners. So remember to join us for that. And then also don't forget the week after, on October 7th, is the premiere of Walking Dead Classic Season 9. So I hope you guys will join us for that as well. It's 8:57, so I'm getting to the point where I need to read you short things and queue up for things I can do during the commercial. So, featured music from last episode, episode 14. There was a montage where Martha kills person after person, leaving the roadside help boxes to get to their leader. And during that montage, they were playing the song Keep on Truckin' by Eddie Kendricks. So that is the only identified music that I'm aware of from episode 14 last week. We have discussion links coming up, and I will get to those. And then I have some other stuff to read to you guys. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna skip the links and come back to those. And let's get talking about Talking Dead tonight. We're going to go through the unaccounted for characters again also, because I don't like to let that stuff go. I don't like plot holes that we're interested in that kind of just magically wander off, get forgotten. So unaccounted characters, I bring this up because I ran into an article while I was looking for stuff for tonight, and the article was about this. So I have listed Taka Kalataka Walker, Lee Crazy Dog, Daniel Salazar, Proctor John, Diana, and I include Tracy Otto because I'm not letting go of Emma Caulfield. And we have no idea how the miniseries passage connected to season 3 or 4 or anything at all. And if it did not, that's very lame, because they did establish a nice little pattern of having the webisodes segue into the next season following, and that kept us interested. So it was stupid to let that go. Please bring that mechanic back. So the article I won't have time for because we're almost ready to go, but it's from digitalspy.com, and it is about forgotten characters and so forth. So I'm going to hang on to that, and I will read that to you guys at the first commercial break, so I'll have that queued up for when we get back and we can have discussions. So I've got that up, and we are about to go live with a new episode, so I will be quiet, and I'll see you guys at commercial break number 1. Hi, guys. It is 9:05, and we are already at commercial break number one. At the moment, I am alone in the chat room, so I'm just going to score myself, and I'm going to go 5-7-5 only because I like the movement of setting up all these possible plot things where people are going to be rescued and finding each other and getting back together and that sort of thing. Actually, I'm going to refresh my chat room. Does it look like it locked up or did something silly? I'm kind of hoping maybe that means that we have some people in there and I just missed them. You know, again, we sometimes have problems with flash and that sort of thing. So, seems like it's not behaving itself that well. So I'm going to try a different way to look at the chat room. If y'all will bear with me just a moment. Chat. Launch chat here. Now, I shouldn't have done that. Chat. I don't know if I can get it to behave itself at the moment. All right. So we'll launch it that way and see what happens. And hopefully that will fix the problem. Ah, we do have a Joan. I am so sorry if you had been there. I'm not sure it was your fault. I was having some kind of Java barf, so I wasn't seeing you. So Joan has been with us, for which I'm very thankful, and I'm going to give her some big applause for her tenacity. Much appreciation. So Joan's starting at 6, and the sound's been good. We're very happy to hear that. So I'm at 5-7-5, and that's where we are at the moment. So let me look at my notes. Oh, yes, I was going to talk to you guys about unaccounted for characters, and I had an article for that, but first I'm going to read this clip from it to show you why I'm pointing this out. They have named several people since the characters I've been fussing about who are also unaccounted for, and I don't care for that in a show. I want to know what is going on. Fear the Walking Dead, Night School plus Walkers, stay tuned. Not sure what's up. Oh, we're actually back already, so I'll shut up and see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, it's 9:17, and we're just at commercial break number two. Much bigger gap between the episodes and the commercials. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. I'm going to go 6.25 for now. Oh, Joan says the same. That's fine. Let me grab some comments from earlier since we had a little trouble. Well, I had a little trouble seeing her in the chat room. So we're just discussing some of our regular friends who haven't been in a while, and you guys are missed. You know who you are. I don't know if you're catching up with the show after the fact because I can't see who downloads the episodes. I see that some of you are. I would love it if you guys could come live and chat with us. Let me see what else. I've been saying I'm a little discouraged with the chat room on the show because it kind of seems like nobody's really calling in or chatting. If you guys have any feedback for us about what might compel you to come and join us live, I would be very happy to hear that. So please let me know. Let's just get to the comments about the show. I just said I was annoyed that the show has painted Martha as this impending new supervillain, but honestly, she just seems like a widow with PTSD, and now she's gone and passed out. I mean, she was shot in the chest, kind of near her heart, and yet she got up and walked away from it, but she really kind of looks like ass, so I don't know if they're implying that she's slowly dying or what. Not really sure, but she doesn't strike me as a supervillain. And Joan says she agreed they could have taken that in a different direction. So, you know, I don't really know what they're doing with that mess. At any rate, so we're at 6.25 with both of our ratings, and I'm going to go read the paragraph that I was about to read you guys, but they came back super quick. So we're talking about unaccounted for characters. I had named mine, which I've named before, so I'm not going to read it yet again. But this article from Digital Spy mentions, in the past timeline, we've also been introduced to Diamond Resident Cole, played by Sebastian Sazi, Viv by Rhoda Griffith, and Douglas, Kenneth Wayne Bradley, as well as members of the Vultures, Mel by Kevin Ziggers, Charlie, Alexa Nisenson, and Ennis, who is Evan Gamble. Now, Mel and Ennis have both been killed off. There's still the potential for past characters to come back, such as Native American enemies turned allies, Kalataka, Michael Gray Eyes, and Crazy Dog, Justin Rain. They were last seen in the finale in leaving the dam just before the Proctor struck. Okay, so this is the article from Digital Spy about that. Now, we have a promo for a TV show, which often means that we're going to go back in a minute. This is for The Gifted, Dawn of the Mutant Age, which is premiering on Tuesday. But we're going to Burger King, so now I know we've got time. So, digitalspy.com, let me come down here. What can we expect from the remaining episodes? Okay, this is where I got this note from, I thought. Forgive me for a second. I got to double check my my link here. I'm not sure this is the correct link. Huh, okay, so we're talking about who is back. Okay, so it's a section of this article. And I'm just going to skip down to that part. So they've also mentioned Daniel Rubenblades, but we've already addressed that. We know that there are OOC reasons why Ruben hasn't been back. He got involved in some projects where he couldn't get back to the show, so they've been stalling what becomes of Daniel. But they are definitely not striking him from the show, and this is significant. So here is the paragraph I just read you. And we have a thing for The Walking Dead, so I think we're going to go back in a minute. Walking Dead, Rick Grimes, final episodes, whatever. Okay, we're back. So I have it queued up, but I'm going to be quiet. I'll see you at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:28, so let's go ahead and get those scores up from 1 to 10. Also, I am going to welcome Jessica to the channel. She is a new local friend who I found out is a big fan of The Walking Dead, so she's joining us tonight. So thank you for that. Big applause. Jonas at 675. I'm at 675 for kind of the same reasons. I'm going to freeze the comments and share the stuff that we were talking about in between the last time that we scored stuff. Joan said some things about The Talking Dead, but I'm going to get to that in a minute because I do have an in for letting you know who's on the air. So welcome, Jessica. She said Maggie Grace is still in the opening credits, so we are not writing Al off just yet, but Al's SWAT van just showed up with Alicia and Charlie in it, which was kind of interesting. Let's see. We were trying to figure out where Jim was, but apparently he's up on the roof trying to feel sorry for himself. And yes, I know he's in a bad way, but he's kind of being a douchebag about it. Jessica, I don't know if you have had an opportunity to read the write-up for the show, but what we'll often do is during the commercial break, we'll talk about different things on the show, and we'll do things where we rate each chunk of the episode. Typically from 1 to 10, your average will start out at 5. We really never had an episode where we started lower than 5 and hated it that much. We don't like to go back down. So, like, if you think the show's hit a 6, we would prefer if you didn't rate it lower than a 6 during the remainder of the evening, unless there's an extenuating circumstance that they really screwed stuff up. So, anyway, that's what we're doing with the scores. If you watch it the next segment and you want to jump in and give a score, you're welcome to do that, or just kind of watch how we do, and maybe if you can join us next week for the season finale, you can jump in some more. So I was in the middle of reading an article to you guys from digitalspy.com, and we were talking about characters that have gone AWOL on the show. I'm not a big fan of that, which I've mentioned to Jessica. No, pardon me, not to Jessica, to Joan before. So I was in the middle of reading this article mentioning some people who are missing. They do have some of the same names that I've been gesturing at. So let me read this next segment to you while we have a chance. It's 9:31, so we should be able to get a couple in. Speaking of the Proctors, they are led by Proctor John, played by Ray McKinnon. He was set up as the next potential big bad with Season 3's Episode 15 and 16, revealing the larger force he has under his power and his intention to open up a trade route, which includes Houston, Texas. And we now know that that never got resolved either, and we thought that could be the tie-in between Fear and Walking Dead Classic, but we don't really know. He was last seen fleeing the dam as it was blown up, and if Nick and Daniel ended up surviving them, there's no reason why John couldn't have escaped with his life either. And you know, Nick died for a completely different reason, and Daniel's still AWOL. So they talk about Nick and Madison's death, and I'm not going to get into that part. I was just looking to see if there are other notes about missing characters. The rest of the article goes into other things, so I think I'm going to wrap that here. But the point was that we were gesturing at characters who never got resolved one way or the other, and all these little plot breadcrumbs that are scattering on the forest floor here of entertainment. Watching the commercials, see if we got time, and we do. Well, we have a Better Call Saul promo, so I don't think we have long. But the next article is going to be about Talking Dead guests for this week, and let me read the names off to you real quick. Jones already covered it, but just to make sure you guys heard, it will be Aaron Stanford, who plays Jim or Jimbo, Mo Collins, who plays Sarah, and Jenna Elfman, who plays June. Those are the Talking Dead guests tonight on the couch. And we are back, so I'll shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, we are back, and it's 9:39. We're at commercial break number 4. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. I think I'm going to agree with Joan and stay at 675. We didn't have a whole lot of commentary in between while that stuff was going on. I had mentioned I kind of expect Jim to die up on the roof, not being helpful. I really don't understand why he has become such an incredible whiny ass, because people that do that usually died in the first season. Joan has mentioned if they brought Morgan over to Fear just to sacrifice him, I might just give him the series finally. I really don't expect that, to be honest. I think it's just generating tension. There's been too much set up to steer Fear towards The Walking Dead Classic. I don't know if this is anticipation of Season 9 because they have another time jump. So just at the point where we got the timelines lined up, they've jumped it. So they need Morgan to do that bridge because I don't think anybody else really knows how to get to Virginia. That, and it's an awful lot to put Lenny James through. I mean, he has been a champ about all these, you know, the drama that they put him through, suddenly moving him to the other show, everything his family's been through, and all that other stuff. Jessica, feel free to jump in if you have any commentary. It's fine if you don't. If you just want to hang out with us and listen, you're also welcome to do so. Joan has said she doesn't either, and I think she means agree with me. They're not just going to throw Morgan away, but they've made some other decisions I really thought were horrible. Yes, I agree. They've had a whole panel this past week on whether Madison's death was premature. Which I totally think it was, and it's unresolved because you don't see her die. She is the only death in this universe that we don't eventually see confirmed. And yes, she was on the wall on Talking Dead, and that's close enough, but I don't care for it. It's a precedent that I hope they don't go back to anymore. Jonas said, I just hope they can get back on track, and I agree with you. So let me pull up this article for you. It's 9:41, so we have a few minutes. And it's, are Morgan and Fear the Walking Dead headed back to The Walking Dead? Now, this was written a little over a month ago by Liam Matthews on TVGuide.com. It was on August 13th. So there's been some things that have happened on the show since then towards this, but I just want to kind of read it to you in a blanket sense. Since we're wrapping the season and we know there's a time jump, we kind of need to know if Fear Season 5 is going to have anything to do with lining up with Walking Dead Classic Season 9. So they say, Morgan Jones crossed over from The Walking Dead to Fear the Walking Dead in the latter season 4 premiere, and the mid-season premiere set a plan in motion to undo all of that and send him back. In the mid-season premiere, people like us, Morgan decided he wanted to head back to Alexandria, where he came from, and tell his friend Rick Grimes that Rick was right about Morgan needing to be around people, which I don't understand this because he's around people now. Hello? Morgan lost his mind in Alexandria and found it again in Texas, and he wanted to rejoin his old crew and bring his new friends like Al and Alicia with him. He and Al had plans to hit the road, but those plans were put on hold by the arrival of a hurricane, which I refer to as the Walkernado. The next 7 episodes will be about surviving the storm, But after that, it's possible they're going to cross back over one last time as the Walking Dead absorbs Fear of the Walking Dead. Something they swore they were never going to do, by the way, for those of you who have been watching the show for a long time. The writers will surely throw some curveballs to keep it from being too predictable, but as of now, it looks like the already greenlit fifth season will focus on Morgan and Friend's journey to Alexandria. Okay, that makes a certain sense because of the timeline, but I'm not sure. Season 5 will take the show on the road like Season 5 of The Walking Dead. Fear will end as Morgan arrives back at Alexandria at the beginning of The Walking Dead Season 10, finds Rick dead and or gone, because we all know it's been publicly announced that he is leaving. Is very sad for a while, then reintegrates into The Walking Dead along with whoever else survived the trip. We have a promo for Hellfest, so we may be going back in a second. I'm pausing until, yes, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, we are at break number 5, and it's 9:51, so this will probably be the last one before we wrap for this evening. But let's go ahead and get some scores up. I'm going to refresh my page just to make sure my flash is behaving properly and I can see everything that people are saying. I am actually going to go ahead and go to 725 just because I like the uptick in the drama. Let me freeze the comments and share with you some things that have been said previously. I can't see all of them. I'm going to go back and grab a couple comments. Jessica, our new friend, is expressing that she's sort of glad that Nick is gone. She hasn't been real fond of him for a long time. And you guys are entitled to say that. We don't all have to like the same characters or want all of them to make it. This is perfectly fine. The host of this show and I used to have debates about that quite often, where he would really, really want a character to die, and I'm trying to make a case for them. So it's all what the show is about. We talk about that. Joan's at 7. I'm at 725. Jessica, if you'd like to score, you're welcome to. We do that during the commercial so we can talk about it a little bit if you can. I know you're AFK for a second. I was fussing why they left Martha in the SWAT van and the zip ties, because likely she can get out. I also had fussed that Jim is being all defeatist and stuff. He's got a walkie-talkie on his butt, and these things are super necessary. So he's talking about Morgan's selfishness. He's about ready to die, and he's not giving that up, even though he knows Morgan's leaving. So I don't know what he's going to use the last of the working walkie-talkie to guilt everybody about the fact that he's sick. I don't know. Not really sure what's going on with that one. Let me pop over to the TV Guide article that I was reading you guys about the crossover stuff. So we do have a couple minutes. I'm going to read you what I can. They're showing everybody on the couch, but we've told you who's going to be on. So hello, everybody on Talking Dead, and we'll see you guys at the end of this show. So the article says, in the mid-season premiere, people like us – oh, no, I already read you that part. Excuse me. The writers will surely throw some curveballs to keep it from being too predictable, but as of now – it looks like the already greenlit fifth season will focus on Morgan and Friend's journey to Alexandria. I did read this too, but I'm going to complete it. Season 5 will take the show on the road like Season 5 of The Walking Dead. Fear will end as Morgan arrives back in Alexandria at the beginning of The Walking Dead Season 10, finds Rick dead or gone, which we already know. That's not a spoiler anymore. Is sad for a while and reintegrates into The Walking Dead along with whoever else survived the trip. It doesn't seem too difficult to make the timelines of each show line up for this. I disagree. It's super difficult. Even accounting for The Walking Dead's 18-month Season 9 time jump. I think that's exactly why it's going to be hard. That and you are fooling with the time and Fear. And you have unaccounted for characters and plot lines. So the deck will then be clear for whatever new spinoff Chief Content Officer Scott Gimple is cooking up. God, Scott, please don't. Focus on the show you're on. Fear the Walking Dead experiment of how many different shows can we make under the same title will come to an end. Gimple said at San Diego Comic-Con last month, and that was July, that more crossovers could happen, which could very well mean that he knows exactly how the next crossover would happen. I really hope you don't, guys. As for who survives, we'll see. TV Guide asked Jenna Elfman if her character June would consider making the trip with Morgan, and she said no comment. Of course she did, guys. Don't be idiots. You know, Walking Dead has one of the most rigorous reputations as far as unofficial interviews and potential spoilers, and the trouble the cast would get in if they blow a spoiler. We have a promo for a show, and I can't figure out who is the man in the jail cell. I'm sure they'll show us in a minute. Oh, Walking Dead. Okay, that's a Walking Dead thing. It looks like it could be Rick or Negan. Not sure. We are back. I'll shut up. I'll see you guys at the end of this show. Okay, guys, it's 10:05. It is the wrap for the show for tonight. I'm going to keep this short so you guys can go check out Talking Dead, but thank you for joining us. I am ending at 7:05, and Joan is ending at 7:05. Jessica, if you have a feeling that you'd like to weigh in, feel free to score your overall feeling on the end of the episode. We will be here next week for the season finale on September 30th, so don't forget to join us. One of the things I want to share with you guys, and I need to do this next week so you're prepped, I have a lineup for the first front half of Season 9 of Walking Dead Classic, and I have all kinds of information on that, and I have the rest of the article, which I'll read to you next week. Thank you for joining us, as always, and we will see you next Sunday for Episode 16, I Lose Myself. Thanks for joining us, guys.